Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR, WHUT-TV, Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Reporters Roundtable discussing some of the top stories of the week. Tonight, more on the D.C. crime bill. The DOJ proposes changes to state-run crime victims' compensation. We're going to talk about that Michigan mother convicted in the mass school shooting committed by her son. The D.C. divorce waiting period is over. And do you support beer and wine sales in Maryland grocery stores? My guests tonight are Panama Jackson, podcaster and columnist at The Griot, and Sam P.K. Collins, staff writer for The Washington Informer. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can X me at HFisherWHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Guys, thank you so much for joining the conversation. I appreciate it.
Peace and blessings.
Glad okay. to be here.
Well, let's hope for peace right now. And we certainly do need blessings, Sam, when it comes to the omnibus crime bill. First reading yesterday, it was passed unanimously, of course, with the present vote of Ward 8 Councilmember White. But a lot of people still are not happy about it. As a matter of fact, last night on this program, we interviewed Sheena Berry. She is a Ward 2 ANC commissioner. And among other things, she shared this with us.
The small details of this bill are so important. They're so important to Black communities, to brown communities, to parents of children, to our future. So I just hope that when they reread this bill that they consider us. Because I know if young white children were committing these crimes, they would not be profiling young white children. They would break their necks to protect young white children.
Is she right, Sam?
She is right. And in terms of the tiny details in the bill, up until the actual council legislative meeting, council members were on the dice tinkering with the tiny details. When it comes to defining mask, Councilmember Henderson, with the help of Councilmember Trayon White to some extent, they narrowed the definition of a mask in the anti-masking provision. When it comes to pretrial detention, Kenyon McDuffie successfully got an amendment introduced that made pretrial detention temporary and also mandated a study. When it comes to drug-free zones, once again, talking about detail, Councilmember Robert White, as he has done on a couple of occasions, really forced his colleagues to think about whether or not D.C. already has drug-free zones. Are people already going to be arrested for selling drugs and using drugs outside? What is the need for drug-free zones? And also, when it comes to a provision that penalizes violent crimes around rec centers, what exactly constitutes as violent crimes? If people are engaged in a game of basketball, does that constitute as something? Does that have the same effect as a murder, for example? These are the small details that people are talking about, and the bill is about 90 pages. It's a combination of 12 bills, and because it's wrapped into an omnibus package, it doesn't necessitate hearings, public hearings in which people can weigh in on them. The argument being that the individual bills were already weighed on. So that was the first strike that was brought against DC Councilmember Brooke Pinto. She and Bowser, Mayor Bowser, have been very, very adamant about the bill being passed in its original form. But like I said, council members were up on the dice. They were in the council breakfast. Amendments were coming in left and right. They were just tinkering with it. And I predict some more tinkering come May 5th or even before that, because the bill, you know, will be passed. It is an election year. We've seen some of the more progressive council members take the middle of the road. But it's a question of how balanced will it be? Will it be extremely punitive, or will it be some balance inside the bill?
But, you know, election year or not, businesses are voting with their feet. They're leaving H Street. The Wizards, the Caps are trying to leave D.C. And a lot of people are sick and tired of being sick and tired, Panama. You know, this is the kind of legislation where I don't think anyone is going to be happy.
No, but to be fair, most legislation never leaves everybody happy anyway.
Right.
I'm with Sam, though. A lot about the details. So I have not read as in depth as obviously you have about everything that's in the bill. I've seen a lot of the big picture items that have showed up, right? The things that people are upset about. And reading the small pieces that I have, I've seen a lot of places that allow for way too much ambiguity in how things are carried out. And I think despite the fact that I am also sick and tired, I'm a resident of this city. I am concerned for my wife and my children. I'm concerned about being carjacked myself. I do think about these things, right? At the same time, I do not enjoy a space that allows the police a lot more leeway in how they are able to enact certain ideas or certain ways of policing us. Like, that is always going to be a problem. That is never a solution mm-hmm. to a problem. The solution is never to give the police a lot more leeway in how they can discern or decipher how a law can be interpreted when dealing with the public. And from what I read, and if I'm wrong about that, please feel free to correct me. I feel like that's some of the things that I've read that are in there that would give anybody pause who has interactions with the police that don't go well, that historically don't go well for us. And the idea that there's more latitude in the, even if it's under the guise of preventing crime or getting criminals off the street, I feel like the solution isn't necessarily here, even if they're trying to move in a direction that does the thing for businesses. I don't know. From what I read, I don't feel more comfortable with what I saw.
And I think this is, you know, whether it's, you know, secure DC or make DC safer, or it could be called the somebody please do something bill, you know, and I think that's where we are. Because the whether it's, you know, your mom and pop businesses that are trying to, you know, keep it together on H Street, or your luxury midtown boutiques, or your, you know, or the folks who are just trying to go to work every day. And like you said, they're concerned about the, you know, the carjacking. One thing I will say, for example, that Kenyon McDuffie spoke about yesterday was the collection of DNA for arrested suspects. That's a bridge too far.
Yeah, I didn't get to touch on that yet. You know, that there was vigorous debate around that. Councilmember Pinto brought up numerous states that are doing similar things. A lot of these states are based in the southern United States. They're pretty conservative. There were also questions about what necessitated that. She brought up instances where repeat sexual offenders, because their evidence was not because their DNA was not collected, they were not caught until the third time. But even so, you know, with that, Councilmember McDuffie, Councilmember Lewis George, and others were very, very adamant once again about just civil liberties and about intrusion right. on people's rights and people's, you know, just people in general.
The unintended consequences is exactly. what you're talking about. All of that stuff, the unintended consequences of that kind of thing. I mean, you even if you have the right idea, but you're not thinking it all the way through, is exactly where that ends up. And you can understand the do something. I get it. I want something to be done too. I'm tired of being concerned about this, right? Mm-hmm. I'm tired of being concerned about my family's safety, my own safety when I venture out, and having to even think about that when I venture out. Making sure, like, I hope I make it home safely. The conversations we have to have as family. But there are bridges too far, as you said, and thinking about, you always wonder why people who are in these positions, like, they want to do something, but why is it these things end up going so extreme and tend to be favoring what nobody else on the street, well, certain communities on the street, it's like, this is a bad idea. These are not the right ideas. But it's like, well, we got to do something. So we got to try this extreme stuff. And which is what that sounds like to me.
Yeah. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Reporters Roundtable talking about some of the top stories of the week. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. We've got a lot to address tonight. We're going to be talking about that Michigan story in just a bit. So Stan calling from D.C., hang on. But I do want to go back to something that, that you were, just talking about, JP. And this is the thing that I find, the drug-free zone thing. I know we have the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, but isn't D.C. supposed to be a drug-free? Isn't everywhere supposed to be a drug-free zone when you're talking about, illegal controlled substances?
I mean, even when it comes to marijuana decriminalization, that's an issue in itself because there's so many gray areas when it comes to the shops, when it comes to how much people can carry. So with the drug-free zones, the rationale once again, and I'm sort of questioning the whole intent versus impact thing. Some part of me in my reporting really points to people really wanting so-called offenders to suffer really bad consequences. But to your original point, drug-free zones, they exist to some extent in the sense that police that it is illegal, but the issue according to some residents is that police officers are oftentimes not encouraged to stop open-air drug markets, that they're sitting in their cars as drug trades are taking place on Kennedy Street, along Georgia Avenue, along some parts of Ward 8, Martin Luther King Avenue, for example, and the other cross streets. That's the rationale behind bringing back drug-free zones. And a lot of this came from residents' frustrations about having to walk past these open-air drug markets and, like they said, being scared for their lives or just being concerned about it. So it all comes down to police officers, which brings me down to my last point for the time being. The D.C. Council, Chairman Mendelson in particular, as well as Charles Allen, they are pointing the finger at convictions. So they're, the mayor and the council have been pointing back and forth about who's responsible for crime. But the D.C. Council is pointing at MPD. And they're also pointing at the U.S. Attorney, Matt Graves' office, because D.C.'s conviction rate or even like crime closure rate is low. So we're talking about 2 out of 3 cases not being solved at one point.
Yeah. But, and this is for both of you, but I'll start again with you, Sam. And this issue kind of came up last night where, and I was also, by the way, talking to Monica Hopkins with ACLU DC. And one of the things that comes to mind is this situation didn't happen overnight, and obviously, COVID did play a role in it. But I have always maintained in these conversations that COVID didn't create crime. It may have exacerbated the situation. Technology with cars has created this because, way back in the day, you didn't have to carjack someone if you stole a car because you could get in the car or you could hotwire the car. But cars are now so technologically advanced, and, Kias and Hyundais, they had that fixed. So now the reason there's so many carjackings is because otherwise you can't steal the car unless somebody's already in the vehicle. Okay. But with that said, what we talk about, what's wrong with the bill, but everybody's complaining about they don't like it, but what's the other side of it? What can work?
There are a couple elements that work. I wouldn't say work. Work is subjective, but elements of the bill that are a bit more proactive. So like when we talk about coordination of government services, when we talk about grants given to businesses along certain streets to fight crime, when we talk about credits for people who get cameras in front of their houses, there are certain aspects of the bill that are more proactive, that are less punitive. to an extent. When we talk about, even when it comes to Department of Corrections, inmates or residents, for that matter, getting licenses or training in food preparation, or like just even getting fresh food, you know. So like, there are certain elements of the bill that are more proactive and more geared towards government coordination of services and crime prevention, and even with the OUC, Office of Unified Communications, with them finally, you know, on the road to transparency as far as how many people can actually call 911 and, you know, have their calls being answered, you know. So there are elements that have not been getting attention that are, you know, that would put DC on the road to transparency. It's just that these other elements have caught so much traction because we don't want to go back to the 90s.
Real quick, same question for you, Panama. What do you think can work? Because I do want to take a phone call real quick as well.
I'm going to defer to, I'm not familiar with everything's in the bill. I will say what I do think part of the reason why elements like that might not get as much attention. On its face, it doesn't sound like it solves anything, right? Like, prevention is not the way that people view change. They, prevention, stopping this, there's like, I don't want to worry about this. I don't want to worry about getting carjacked. What are you going to do to the people that carjack? We often think punitively, even if we don't acknowledge that we do that. We're thinking, make the people that do the bad things suffer so that other people don't do it, as opposed to stopping these things from happening in the first place through programs, community programs, through making people feel like it's not worth it to them. They don't have to do these things. So,
yeah. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. Roderick calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Roderick. What's on your mind?
I was just going to make a comment. Oh, good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah, go right ahead. You got a minute. Go ahead.
I was just going to make a comment about the DNA. The DNA being taken on a simple arrest, I don't agree with. But DNA is taken in the prison systems in the DMV after conviction.
Yeah.
So they passed a law a long time ago for that. And if you notice that a lot of crimes have been solved by serial killers or whatever by DNA taken. And that's all I was going to say.
Okay, Roderick, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Terry calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Terry. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was calling about, why don't they have more programs leading up to helping the parents out? The parents are the ones that should be held responsible for a lot of things, so they need to actually give them quality care and stuff as far as good parenting skills, because that's what's going on right now. There's been a lot of bad parenting, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, and you do make a point, and after the break, we are going to talk about the bad parenting story out of Michigan. It's historic. Has never happened before, a precedent setting, and who knows what impact that may have on the rest of the country, particularly here in D.C. Thank you so much for your phone call. Need to take a break, but don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast. It's on our website, whur.com. And don't forget to download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. If you're on the phone, Stan calling from D.C., Daryl calling from Maryland, stay with us. We will be taking your phone calls. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Stay with us.